We are going to turn in God's Word to Matthew's Gospel so that we can get a good perspective on Galatians chapter 5. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, and we'll begin reading there with verse 21. Peter always had interesting things to ask. So, let us note here, Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him, that is to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. Once I forgive him, the seventh time, I don't have to worry about it anymore, right? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that's a large sum. I did a little math, and my figure I came up with was, in the present currency, $260 million. John MacArthur said it was an infinite number, so take either one you want. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, in that time, it would be including torture in a prison. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have mercy, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Impossible. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That is about 3 months' labor for a common man. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that was done, what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Amen. So there is a word for Peter and for us that we have to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. David wrote in Psalm 37, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We sang the little hymn about childhood and being gentle. And I want to thank God for the privilege, even from childhood, for I don't know how many years of childhood we just had a privilege of meeting people, and We didn't know that there was such a thing as a television. And we had the privilege of watching and listening to people who had been born in the 1800s. Had the privilege of listening to people's wisdom from the 19th century. And many people, of course, from the 1900s, and now I have the privilege for the 24th year beginning of watching and listening to people in the 2000s AD. I remember with joy a godly African-American man that was born around 1880. He sat me down on his porch as a young man, and he poured into me some of his wisdom. And I wish I had just listened better. But Elmer Garth was a happy, hard-working, greatly loved man. I had the privilege of preaching at his funeral in 1979. And another person born around the same time was very bitter, hypocritical, unloved, and miserable. I did not enjoy being around that white person. Our topic for meditation this morning is the virtue called gentleness. The old African-American man was an example of gentleness. He was a real gentleman. But the other person was a sad example of what the scripture sets forth as the opposite of gentleness, that is bitterness. So we have a long look at bitterness today. But first, what is gentleness? There in Galatians 5 and verse 22, we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Another term for patience. Long-suffering, beautiful word. And then gentleness. Four times in our authorized version we find the word gentleness. Twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. But never the same original word. There are all different original words in the Hebrew and in the Greek. Now, the word gently is once in the Old Testament, and the word gentle five times in the New Testament. The gentleness of our Lord Jesus Christ is the most prominent gentleness. Now, the word for gentleness in Galatians 5:22 actually occurs in our New Testament 10 times. Our translators showed great wisdom the way they translated that Greek word. For once it's translated as gentleness, and four times it is translated as, four times it's translated kindness, four times as goodness, one time as good. Now, the reason that it's translated gentleness in this passage in Galatians 5:22 is for a very good reason. Do you notice what the next virtue is in the fruit of the Spirit after gentleness? It is goodness. And it's a completely different Greek word in the original. So the other word for goodness is so many times in the New Testament, somewhere I think 100 times nearly, the other word that's the next one in the fruit of the Spirit. So it was very wise that this be translated as it is. And we're going to see that as we go into our message. All right, so we are, God willing, next week we will consider goodness next Lord's Day. But this word for gentleness is very important. Now here's the meaning of it. Let's get the meaning. And we'll see it as we go through some scriptures. But the meaning of this word gentleness is kindness. Easy to be entreated. Sweetness. Accommodating. Agreeable. Obliging. And beneficial. So having looked at the meaning of gentleness, let's look at the greatest manifestation of gentleness. Of course, it is the one that we just sang of, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It is our Lord Jesus Christ, His wonderful person. More than 700 years before our Savior was born into this world, the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40 declared that the shepherd of His people, the Lord Jesus Christ, would affectionately feed His sheep, and would gently lead. He would not drive His sheep. He would not overdrive His sheep. But He would gently and lovingly lead His sheep as the good shepherd. Guide them by His example. Protect them and save them by laying down His life for theirs. Paul appeals to the Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. He urges us there in 2 Corinthians 10, 1, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He urges. What had he been just speaking about? Well, in that previous chapter, he had been speaking particularly about giving to those that were in need, giving offerings for the needy saints. But the verse that comes right before 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1 is very interesting. At the end of chapter 9, all that God had given into this world the best that He had to give when He gave His only begotten Son. That last verse of chapter 9, he gives thanks to God for His unspeakable gift, that inexpressible gift, that unutterable gift that is beyond adequate communication or human description. The Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gift. So he is urging the people by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ to think of others, because this greatest gift had been given of Christ, not thinking of himself, but thinking of others. So now, I want us to see that we can also discern the meaning of gentleness by the misery that usurps gentleness' proper place. Instead of gentleness, sin pushes bitterness into its place. Man was created to glorify God with the mind, with the mouth, with the whole body, and all of our spirit. Romans 15:6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. But instead of the one mouth and the one mind, instead of words of gentleness coming out of that mouth, out come words of bitterness. Even for Christians, the fruit of gentleness or kindness must govern all of our attitudes, our words, and our actions as Christians. Christ, in His parable of the unmerciful servant that we read first today, shows us what the Christian attitudes and actions and words must not be by that unmerciful servant who though forgiven a huge debt that he could never in his whole lifetime repay, was owed a little, tiny amount by another man. And instead of forgiving as he had been forgiven, he sent that debtor to prison and had him tortured. So the wicked servant was himself condemned to punishment. And Christ promised punishment to all those who refused to forgive. If the Holy Spirit really indwells you and me, then we must show a sweet, forgiving spirit to others. But if you refuse to be forgiving toward others, then you are not a kind and gentle person. Rather, you are harsh, bitter, and as James said, devilish. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Here's our word. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, the Scripture says. So our Christian home must not be a place of angry, sharp, severe, biting words that makes the home into a place to be dreaded. And such conduct will drive the family members away from the home, possibly away from the Savior Himself. Such bitterness is a blatant denial of all that we profess in our Lord Jesus Christ. Like the unmerciful servant in the parable, we profess to have received this great and infinite forgiveness for all of our great debts. But to refuse to forgive is a horrible thing. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit is the one who delivers us from the bondage of bitterness. Through His sanctifying grace, He brings about a mellowing in the believer's life that produces sweetness and real kindness in our words, actions, and all of our attitudes, everything. So, you know, the work of the Spirit producing fruit in us. May the Lord give a great harvest of fruit in our lives, no matter what stage of life we are in. But what causes this bitterness? Where does this bitterness come from that the Scripture has so much to say against? Bitterness comes directly from pride. So much of our sin comes from pride. You think about pride, the middle letter is I. You think of the middle letter of sin, it's I. It's so much I. The Pharisees were full of it. They despised others because the Pharisees, of course, were inflated with a sense of their own superiority over others, their own greatness and their own perfection, so that the Pharisee could say in his prayer, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. They're all a bunch of sinners. They're extortioners, adulterers. They're murderers. They're all of these terrible things, even like this publican that steals from our people. But when the gospel changes a Pharisee's heart, it changes his prayer. So that instead of saying a prayer, he actually cries out, oh God, if there is one sinner on earth that deserves to be punished forever in hell, I am that person. That's what happens when grace enters into the proud Pharisee or otherwise. Bitterness not only stems from pride, it stems from envy. You look at the life of the Old Testament King Saul. He was full of bitterness toward David, the man after God's own heart. He was so envious and jealous of David because he saw in David the kind of man that he wished he was, but he wasn't. Saul became so jealous of David that he tried for years to kill him. And this envy brought division and suffering into Saul's whole family. And it eventually drove Saul to his death. And he took his own life, if you read that carefully. Bitterness is sometimes caused by disappointment with God's dealings with us. Now, God's dealings with our lives, His providential workings, we have to submit to. There were two great Old Testament prophets who got angry with God and spoke bitter words to Him because of the way He was dealing with them. You remember one of them was Jonah. Jonah said he did well to be angry because Jonah was angry because of God's mercy to the Ninevites who he hated. And Jeremiah was angry because of God's judgment. And in Jeremiah 15, verse 18, he asked God, "Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar?" Think about that carefully. Here were two prophets of God that had to be taught not to be bitter, so we can come beside them. We can consider this carefully. That God worked in these prophets to bring them back into fellowship with Himself. And the Holy Spirit can so work His sanctifying grace in you and me to deliver us from frustration, from bitter words, and even lashing out in anger at those that we love. Bitterness can also rise up in the heart because of extreme suffering. Job suffered so much. There are Christians right now suffering so much. Job suffered so much like Christ did. Those internal sufferings as well as the external sufferings. You think of the terrible pain that Job suffered at the loss of all his precious children. Much greater loss than all his wealth. And then he suffered the most horrible pains of his sickened, diseased body. At least six times, Job spoke of the bitterness that was in his soul. Then in Job chapter 23, I want to turn over there for just a minute how beautiful this is. Chapter 23 of Job, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job suffered much, but he was brought to assurance and trust in what God was doing in his life. And thus it is possible for those that live in perpetual suffering and pain to be delivered from bitterness. How? Like Job, focusing on him. focusing on the truth of God's total, absolute pardon of our sins. Because Psalm 32 is still true. Blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The Holy Spirit produces fruit in the lives of his people. He causes us to know the love of God in the gift of Christ, the joy of salvation, and peace with God. Thereby, we are enabled to live with patient long-suffering, and to learn a life of gentleness. Now, you know, we quoted Ephesians 4:31, that all wrath and all bitterness and clamor and evil speaking is all to be put away. But the last verse there, verse 32, is so wonderful. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And you know what's so beautiful about that? Ephesians 4:32 is our word, once again. It's the verbal form of gentleness. It's gentleness as a verb right there at the beginning of verse 32. What is it saying? It is saying become gentle one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. That is what that literally is at the beginning of Ephesians 4:32. Become gentle to one another. By the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. I look back on those that I knew for decades when I was a young person. I remember with sadness that life that was so bitter, resentful, revengeful, and unloved. Someone you didn't want to be with then. And I very sadly say, certainly not want to be with them now. Then I think of that precious old black man. He lived just above the poverty line, but he was happy, godly, gentle, and he spent his life blessing other people and glorifying God. I enjoyed being with him 50 years ago. And I look forward to being with him again one day. Become gentle. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we can only begin to give thee praise that thou hast shown that divine gentleness to us. What kindness! What benefit! Oh Lord, thou hast been so accommodating to our need. Thou hast given the perfect remedy to all our woes. So Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us to take the admonition of the inspired apostle to become gentle. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.